Bezras Hashem Yisparech, today's daf is Kufhei in Masechta Shabbos. It is the 167th daf in Shas. Our daf, Mirtz Hashem, is going to continue discussing the halachas of Kosev on Shabbos, instances where one doesn't write a standard two-letter like Aleph Beis, yet one is Chayiv. And we're going to conclude Perek HaBoyne, begin Perek HaOyreg, which is the halachos of weaving and sewing. Our mission is going to introduce us to some of the complexities of weaving, and then on Kuf Hei Mabez, we are going to have a classic daf, and that is the halachos of Korea, particularly someone who tears Kriya for Avelos, and its unique set of halachos in regards to Shabbos, and will give us a window to some of the parameters of the Malacha of Tearing. So let's Bezer Hashem begin Kuf Dalet, where we left off 7.5 years ago. Kuf Dalet on the Beis Tana, the last line. Niskaven liv k'toiv ois achas. If a person intended to write two letters, va'olo biyodoi shtayim, and it turns out he wrote one letter. How does that happen? Rashi explains, as the Gemara had mentioned earlier, 7.5 years ago, the Gemara had mentioned, and yesterday, the Gemara had mentioned that if you write and you write a ches, it's easy to break that a half, and to have two zayins. So in this case, he intended to write a ches, and it turned out it wasn't bridged on top, and it was two zayins. Then Yischaif asks the Gemara of Hatnan, but didn't we learn in our Mishnah, Potter, that it's Potter. We learned in the previous daf, Loikasha, says the Gemara, had the boys uni, had the low boys uni. In a case of where he intended to write two zayins, for example, he separates a ches in order to write two zayins, then he's going to be chayif. In a case of where he didn't intend to do it, he just intended to write one ches, so then in such a case he's going to be potter. The Gemara introduced us to the concept of notrikon on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, and that is what we would call an abbreviation, Rashi Tevos. The Gemara's example of notrikon is a more complex one that we're going to see. Kosev ois achas notrikon. If we write one letter that is an abbreviation for many words, Rabbi Yeshua ben Maaser Mechayiv, Rabbi Yeshua holds your chai v'chom point. Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Yosef Mizim Rami Nayin Loshen Notrikim in HaTorah. Where does this idea of Notrikim come in the Torah? In other words, Chazal found abbreviations and references in the words of the Torah, even though it wasn't expressly stated, but they found it as Rashi Tevos, as abbreviations for words. Shenemar, like it says by Avram Avinu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him a bracha ki av ha-moyin goyim nisaticha. So, Chazal Darshan, as you see in our Gemara, they put shmichiks, something like quotations in between the Aleph and the Vez and Hamon, to show you that these are abbreviations. What is the Av? So, the Rasha goes as follows. Av is a reference. Av nisaticha l'umos. That's one thing. And the Vez is bochor nisaticha b'umos. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wasn't only saying that Avram would be like a father, as the Maharsha points out that the Pasuk already prior says, V'hoyisala av amoyin goyim. So that's the reference of the Aleph in Av, and then the Beis is a reference to a Pasuk, according to Maharsha in Nehemiah. Atahu Hashem Elokim Asher Becharta B'Avram, V'etzeisim Rekastim, sounds familiar, that we say in Shachris. So that's what Bachur Nesaticha is referring to, Ba'umas. What's Hamoyin? So Hamoyin, we're also going to darshan notrikin. Number one, we're going to darshan chaviv nesaticha beumos. Here we're darshaning the hay like a ches, the hay as being chaviv. That's an interesting thing that sometimes hay is turned into a ches. Take a look again at the Marsha. And therefore, chaviv nesaticha beumos is the hay from Hamoyin. Mem, melech nisaticha l'umos. Vav, from Hamoyin, vasik nisaticha b'umos. I'll make you a veteran, a prized veteran. Nem nisaticha l'umos. So all of those things are referred to in Av Hamoyin. So Gemara is showing that what we had seen on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, if you write something notrikin, that has halachic significance, we see that Chazal already darshaned that way. Rabbi Yechanan himself, Amar, he said, we darshan a different way. And actually, Rabbi Yochanan's drasha is one of the most important drashos in or notrikin in all of Chazal. because the basis of it is an extremely important idea in terms of Jewish philosophy. Seres HaDibra says, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha. So Anoichi, we take the Aleph Nun Chaf Yud and we darshan as follows. Notrikin, Ano, I HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nafshi, my soul, Kasavis, Yavis. I wrote it down and I gave it to you. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave his soul over in his Torah. I heard from Reshechter Shlita to explain, based on the Nefesh HaChaim, based on the Zayar, that the idea is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the only way we can understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu and relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through his Torah. The Nefesh, the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is his Nefesh, and that's the only way we can relate to him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not corporeal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. So how do we bind to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We receive his Nefesh, his moral will in the Torah, and that's the way, by attaching our will to the moral will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is the way in which we attach ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's an extremely important philosophical point. Anoichi ano nafshi kasiyas. Rabbanan Amri, Amira ni'ima ksiva yehiva. The Rabbanan said that Anoichi stands for Aleph, is the Amira ni'ima, sweetness, ksiva yehiva. I gave you sweetness written down. I gave myself retroactively. In other words, we don't read the letters forwards to backwards, but we read them retroactively backwards. In other words, that we put the yud, which is the last letter, first. Yehiva ksiva. I gave it to you written. Ne'eman in mamarel. You could believe and you could rely on these words of Torah. Dvei Reb Nosson Amri. Reb Nosson taught differently. It says, after Bilam hit the donkey, Hine anoichi yotzasi l'satan, ki yorat haderech l'negdi. We're going to focus on the yud resh tes of yorat. Yara ra'asa natsa. It saw, second, and first, it feared. It feared, in other words, the donkey from the malach, and then it saw, and then it went along the side of the way. The significance of that, the darshanim discuss. Why? The had to be that the chamor feared before it saw it. Very Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Beis Meresh Rabbi Shmuel learns from another pasuk in regards to the Karbina Omer. The pasuk says Geres Karmel, which means full kernels of the Karbina Omer, which came from barley. So we darshan the word Karmel, Karmale, that it has to be full grains. That they're already ripe, as we say, translated, full. Rav Acha bar Yaakov refers to something that David HaMelech said. That David HaMelech said that Shimi ben Gera cursed him, v'hu kilani klala nimretzes. A constant stream of curses. But notrikin noefu, he said that Shimi ben Gera was an adulterer, Moavi, who comes from Moav, Rotzeachu, Tzorer, who he's an enemy, Toevahu, he's a Toev. Rav Nachum bar Yitzchak Omar, he darshins notrikin, from when Yosef finds the cup, Manomer la'adoni, manidaber, umanitztadok, Yehuda's reaction is, what am I going to respond, nitztadok? The drasha of nitztadok are, nechonim anachnu, we're correct, tzadikim anachnu, torah anachnu, dakim anachnu, we are clear, kedoshim anachnu. We go on to the next Mishnah, hakoyse shtey oisyeis b'shtey alamois, if someone writes two letters in two different thoughts, so there's a machlokus, as we saw earlier in our perek, of whether there's yediya lechatzi shir. In other words, Rabbi Gamliel holds that even though if a person does something b'shogeg, and then he realizes that aver b'shogeg, he's now chayv a karbon, and then he does something else b'shogeg, he's chayv two karbonos. When it comes to writing two different letters, he writes a letter, then he realized that it b'shogeg, so maybe if he writes another letter b'shogeg, the two aren't combined, just like the two maisim. Rabbi Gamliel holds, there is no yediya in regards to chetzi shir, and you're going to be chayiv a carbon. The Chacham say no, just like there's a yediya that interrupts when it comes to two maisius, so too, if a person writes two letters. The Mishnah really here has two cases. The Mishnah says, Achar Shachris v'achas bein arbaim, Rebbe Gamliel mechayiv v'chacham potrim. Similarly, we have machlokes from Rebbe Gamliel and the Chacham, there's a break of time, whether the two letters are combined. Says the Gemara b'maykal mifli, Rebbe Gamliel savar ein yediyah l'chatzi shir. The yediyah is not significant when it comes to chatzi shir. Rabbanan savri, yesh yediyah l'chatzi shir, as we described earlier. Hadron Allah Habayna, we're zocha to finish the 12th perek of Masechet Shabbos. Perek Rabbi Eliezer, and for the duration particularly of this amud, deals with the halachos of weaving and sewing. The halachos of weaving on Shabbos are probably the most complex, particularly the main reason is because the weaving process was a complex one and one that we're not familiar with today. I highly recommend for those who can get their hands on the old art scroll Mishnayis, the Yad Avram Mishnayis. They have excellent diagrams on the Mishnah Perek Klal Gadol, and excellent descriptions of our Mishnah as well that do not even appear in the art scroll Gemaras. So let's begin. Rabbi Lezer Oimer Ha'erig Shloisha Chita B'tchila, one who weaves three threads at the beginning. In other words, you take three threads to start a sweater. Ve'echad al ha'orig, or he adds one thread to what is already woven fabric. Chayiv, your chayiv. V'chachal ma'im be'mitchilim b'masav shuur shnei chitim. All you need is two chitim in order to be chayiv. You don't need three in the beginning. That was relatively straightforward in terms of the beginning of the weaving process. However, the next case is really quite complex because this assumes that one knows the construction of a home loom. And that was what was used for weaving. The general background of the process of weaving is that their warp threads are inserted through two frames known as harnesses. These harnesses consist of something called heddles, that is, threads with rings or loops in their middle. All the odd threads are threaded first through rings or loops of the first harness, allowing them to be raised or lowered as the harness is raised or lowered. They then pass between the threads of the second harness. In other words, you have two harnesses that are passing between each other. The even threads are first drawn between the threads of the first harness frame and subsequently through the rings or loops of the second harness frame. Then they go through a comb-like tool known as a reed. Its purpose is to press the woven fabric together after the thread has gone through it. The Mishnah states that if one introduces two warp threads through the two frames and the reed, he is liable. I was just reading from that art scroll Mishnayis, and I'll repeat the punchline. The Mishnah states that if one introduces two warp threads through the two frames and the reed, he is liable. Hence, our Mishnah continues, Ha'oisa shnei batei nirin binirin. If you put the two warp threads through the two frames, that's the case, Ha'oisa shnei batei nirin. Similarly, bikiros. The difference between this case and the previous one is that Nira refers to a housewife's loom, in which the two parts were manipulated by hand, whereas in the case of a commercial loom, the two ends were manipulated by pedals, the two frames. So that is the difference between Nira and Kiris. Benafel v'kvara. Similarly, when it comes to making a basket, what they would do is after the warp reeds are laid out to form the skeleton of the object to be woven, the weaver would loop two reeds around each reed of the warp, thus locking that reed into position. Take a look on diagram on page 238 in the art scroll Mishnayis. So if you do it in binafel b'kvaro b'sal, a sifter, a sieve, or a basket, chayiv, v'atayver shtei tfiros, v'akarei almanas litbar shtei tfiros. Here we get into more familiar territory. If someone sews two stitches, or one tears with the condition to sew two tefiros, one is going to be chayiv. The Gemara begins. Ki asar Rav Yitzchak tani shnei. When Rav Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he learned that the opening words of our Mishnah, ha'orek shnei chutin b'tchila, is the appropriate girsa, and not shlosha chutin, that Rabbi Eliezer was not saying that you're chayiv if you start a weaving of three threads, but rather he was talking about even two. Ask the Gemara of Hagnan Tanan Shleishav. Our Mishnah said three. How can you say that? Did he really change the girsa? So Gemara says you're right. Loikasha haba limi habiktini. In the case of where we're talking about thick strings, so then in such a case, the halacha would be that you need one number of string. If we're talking about thinner, then you need a different number. Amri lo lahai gisa, amri lo lahai gisa. Now, which one is it? Is it when you have the thick, so then you need three, and then when you have the thin, you need two, or vice versa? Amri lo lahai gisa, there's some who said it this way, alume tlasa lo sasri tre sasri. That when it comes to the thick ones, so all you need is two in terms of firmness, but there's another problem, and that is that because they're so thick, they don't attach well to each other. So, tlasi, only if you use three, is it not going to separate. Ktini, if you have the thinner ones, tre nami lo sasri. Then if you just tie them together with two, that's going to be enough. V'ami lo lahayis, and others said the other way. Ktini, tlasi yidi, tre lo yidi. When it comes to the thin ones, so the thin ones need three in order to create anything of significance. Alimi, the thick ones, tre nami yodi. It has a maisa that's significant already with two. The Gemara continues with the braisa. Tanya irik shloisha chita mitchila va'achar al ari chayiv. Like we learned from Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah, that when you start out, you need three to create some type of weaving. But if you have one, you're already chayiv. Chachamim emrim. Bein mitchila bein besev shiun shnei chitin. That's all like we saw in our Mishnah. Uvasafa. But if we're talking about the hem of a garment, the edge of the garment, so there, often, it's hemmed or tied together in a, sewn together in a tighter way, so then in such a case, shnei chitim b'rochav, shlosha batenir. In order to create the hem, you need to have two threads that are going along the width that actually go through the three bate nirin. We're going to have a dissenting opinion on Amud Beis that's going to say that when it comes to the width, you need something called male hasit, but that's this opinion now. Halamaza doima, what is this like? Lo'oreg tziltzil katan. Someone that weaves a thin belt, shnei chutim brochav shloshi bate nirin. That in order to create this belt, you will need to take the two chutim on the width through to three bate nirin. This is how we learned in the Reisha that it says stam, Ha'orek shlosha chitim betchila, and it doesn't mention Rabbi Eliezer, even though that's the Tana of our Mishnah. Ha'orek shlosha chitim betchila ve'echad al-arek chayiv, stomach Rabbi Eliezer. That seems to be like Rabbi Eliezer. Tani Yidach, we learned another brisa, ha'orek shnei chitim al-hagas, that here we add this brisa that says that you added them to a large piece of a woven material, vala imra, and to the edge of a beged chayiv. That's what the Tanakhama starts out saying. Rabbi Lezer, I'm Rafilu Echa. Rabbi Lezer there dissents and says that you need even one. Uvasafa, and if it's a yet, Shnei Chutim Brocha Shosha Batinir and Chayiv, like we saw in the other Brisa. Halamaza Doma, Lorik Tiltil Katan, Shnei Chutim Brocha Shosha Batinir. So this Brisa has the opening stam without any mention, and then it's followed by Rabbi Eliezer. And the Gemara says, that quote, Ha'orig Shnechit al Gaswal Imra Chayiv, that's not going according to Rabbi Eliezer. Stomach of Rabban, that fits nicely with our Rabbanan, who said that you're Chayiv if you have two Chitim. We go back to the most complex part of our Mishnah, Ha'ese Shnei Bate Nirin. My Benirin. What does Benirin mean? What is the meaning of the word Nirin? Amar Abaye, Tarte Bave Nira V'chada Benira. Two times you put the chut of the shesi being the thread that goes the length of the loom, and achas benira, and one thread that is put through the nira, which is another part of the loom. Now the problem is that not many understand what exactly which part of the loom it is. Take a look at many different mefarshim, and I am not capable of explaining this. We learned in our Mishnah, Bakeros, that we learned in our Mishnah that there's a form of loom that's called the Nir, and then there's another one that's called the Kiros. We said that there are many who learn that it's the professional type of loom. Amar Rav Mitzivasa. This is called Mitzivusa. So Mitzivusa would be the professional type of loom. Now we go to more familiar territory for us, in terms of the way we are familiar with garments being created. Hatofer shtei tefiras, somebody who sews two stitches. Hatanina bavas melacha is vatoifer shtei tviras. We already learned in the Mishnah in Ayin Gimel that in order to be chayiv, if you sew two stitches, you're going to be chayiv. So why did our Mishnah need to repeat? Says Gemara Mishum Nikvay the Mishni Seifa Einachanami. It's not necessary for the halach of tofer, but the seifa that you need to tear the amount of two tefiros. In other words, to tear the amount of area where you can sew two stitches. Vakaream naslit for shtei tefiros. Katani nami hatofer vakarea. So therefore, the halach is that we repeat it. Says the Gemara, katani nami hatofer vakarea. But we also learned Korea by the Avos Melachos as well. Says the Gemara, you're right. Really, we don't even need Tofer Korea. Because of the Seifa, HaKorea, the Chamos of Al-Mesa, we're going to have on Kufam Abayz, a fascinating Mishnah, someone who tears in anger or on death, really, we don't need these Halachos at all. Because they were learned on Ayin Gimel, both Korea and Tofer. Hatover shtei tviras vakorei amnaslit for shtei tviras heichi mishkachas la. Where did you find such a thing in the Mishkan? Now, what's very interesting about this question is that this question, at first glance, was already asked on Daf Ayin Hei Amid Aleph, and in fact, the Gemara said that the answer to the question of how you find it in the Mishkan was that in a case of where they needed to sew a rough tear in a garment, they would tear further down in order to be able to sew straight, to be able to have a straight line. The Gemara's Lashon over there is Shekein Yiriya Shenafel Adarna Karim Ba V'Tofrenosa. Now, interestingly, our Gemara's answer is going to be a different one. Says the Gemara, De Avdin Be Kista. In a case of where you made something like a pocket, that there are times that a bubble appeared like it almost looked like a pocket, but it's actually a bubble that appeared in the garment. In other words, it became part of it got lifted up when you wanted it to be straight. It was elevated. In order to straighten it out, you would tear the beged and you would intend to sew again. So that would be Korea al Menas Litvar. Now, Taisus on Ayin Hei Amid Aleph points out, therefore, that our Gemara is not asking how it took place in the Mishkan, but rather our Gemara is asking, how would we do it today? And Tosus points out that each Gemara is necessary. The Gemara in Ayin Hei is talking about the source of the Mishkan, but the Gemara on Kuf Hei is talking about practically when this would happen today. In the Mishkan, they never messed up so in such an extreme way that the cloth wasn't straight and was elevated. That happens by us. But in the Mishkan, that generally did not happen. What sometimes happened in the Mishkan was that something got stuck. Yiriya Shenafel Ba'Darna, and that's where they needed to tear. But over here, we're talking about what generally happens by us. We begin the new Mishnah on top of Kuf Hei Amid Beis. A beautiful Mishnah, Karei B'chan Masai Va'al Masai. If someone tears in anger or due to the death of somebody, of course, there is a chiyuv of kriya in avelus if someone loses a family member. V'kol ha-mekalkalim p'turin. And all cases that one tears in a destructive manner, one is going to be potter. The Gemara is going to tell us that when it comes to tearing in anger or for a dead person, then in such a case, in many of the instances, there is nothing positive that is coming out, but rather it's just destructive when a person tears in anger. For a person who has died, we will see the Gemara will differentiate between different types of individuals. If, however, someone destroys with the intention to fix, so then the amount of the shear for the Yisr is the amount of the Tikkun. Miri explains what that means is essentially a repeat of what we explained for Korei Almanas Litvar. And that is that when one is Chayiv for Korea, it is the exact opposite of the mirror image, if you will, of the Halach of Tofer. Just like Tofer, you're Chayiv if you tear if you sew two tefiros, so for Korea, it's going to be the same shear, and that is two stitches. Shir hamelabin v'amenapet v'atzoveya v'atove kimlo rochav asit hakofel. When it comes to whitening, cleaning out the wool, dyeing, spinning, so the shirim of all of these things is the amount that it takes to span between the middle finger, which is the largest finger in a person's hand, and the index finger. And that's called melo hasit, and that's the shear for the iser. The Gemara continues with the kasha. We learned something that seems to contradict our Mishnah. If someone tears in anger, or for avelus, or a relative of his, it's interesting, what would the difference between avelo and meso? So some take out the vav. Uba avelo al meso. Chayiv. Then in such a case, won't be chayiv. Yet in our Mishnah, we learn pater. Vafel pisha mechalas ha-shabbos. One more thing of the Brisa says, even though he's mechal shabbos, yotzi de kriya, he was yotzi de chiv of avelos. In other words, he doesn't need to do another kriya. So answers the Gemara, like kasha av meisi de hav meis da alma. We're talking about two different instances. In a case of where it's a relative of his, so then in such a case, he's chayiv to do a kriya, and therefore the kriya is a tikkun, it's not a kilkul. So then the halacha is, just like he's chayiv to do kriya, he's going to be chayiv on Shabbos because he's doing a tikkun. That's the brisa. Our Mishnah was talking about meis da alma. He was doing kriya because he was around when someone else had died. Asks the Gemara, v'hameisoi k'tani. But our Mishnah said, it's his mace. Says the Gemara, lo'olam b'meis tidei. You're right, we have to change our minds. Really, we're talking about it's his own relative. U'bahanech d'lav b'nei avelos ninhu. But we're talking about a relative that's not one of the chiyuvei avelos. It's a relative, but it's not one of the shiva krovim. So for example, let's say he tears kriya on an ant. So then in such a case, it's not one of the shiva krovim, he wasn't chayv to tear. V'chacham hu, but if it is a chacham, chiyuvei mechayiv, then one needs to tear kriya on a chacham. The sign we learned in the Braisa, chacham shemes hakol kroivav, that everybody is considered his relative. What does that mean? Everybody tears shiva? So says the Gemara, hakol krov sakhadatuk ela em hakol kikoirav. In what way? Hakol korin alav, hakol choltsin alav, hakol mavrin alav birachava. That the requirement is that they tear kriya for him. Not only that, but everyone would take off their shoes, bishas halavaya, as well as that they would eat a su'udas havra'a in the rechov. They wouldn't sit 7 days of avelos, but these components of avelos they would have. So what do we see? That there is kriya for a chacham. L'tzricha d'lav chacham hu. So you have to say that in our case, there wasn't a chi of kriya because he wasn't a chacham. Asking Gemara, really? Even if you're around by the p'tira, by the way, this is halach l'maisa, we discussed in our Hilchos Avelos shir, how doctors who are chas v'chalila or nurses around by p'tira don't do kriya, but this is the basic halacha, that if someone's around, a Jew that's a kosher, that passes away at b'shas yitzias neshama, if they're there for yitzias neshama, yitzim chiyuvei mechayve, they're chayiv to tear, desanyim, if ma mesim, why is it that, God forbid, children pass away? In order that these individuals should cry for a regular Adam Kosher. The Gemara clarifies, what does it mean, Arvona Shaklamine? It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu took a pikadon from them. In other words, the Gemara is asking a question. How could it be that simply having, the word's not simply over here, let me correct my words. How could it be that if a child passes away, that this will be justified in order to get them to cry for an Adam Kasher? The whole thing doesn't add up. Are you taking, literally the Gemara is saying, are you taking a collateral that by taking the child away in order that they should cry for an Adam Kasher? All that doesn't make sense. Ella mepnei shlo bachav esabel Adam Kasher. No. God forbid, if the child passes away, it's because the parents didn't cry Adam Kasher. Shekol boichal Adam Kasher, boichal la'achav v'nesu b'shvil kavod she'asa. If you cry for an Adam Kasher, so then your averos are forgiven, and therefore, the child will not pass away. So the Gemara is asking, you need to cry even for an Adam Kasher. Loi Tzricha, says the Gemara, Delav Adam Kasher. We have to say that we're talking about an instance where it wasn't an Adam Kasher. So then in such a case, there isn't a Chiyuv to tear Kriya. V'idekoi b'shas Yitzias Neshama Chiyuv v'mechayiv. But the Gemara says, as we mentioned, that as long as you're there for Yitzias Neshama, then there is also a Chiyuv. V'sarim Shem Lozor, Oimer, 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 b'shas Yitzias Neshama, Chayiv l'kraya. There's a Chiyuv to care. To tear halamaza daima, what's this similar to? The Sefer Torah Shenisrafa. Rasalvejik had a drasha where he pointed out from this Gemara's mashma that the neshama of a Jew is like a Sefer Torah, and when the neshama separates from the body, so that's like a Sefer Torah that the letters disappear from the gvil, and there needs to be a kriya. So every Jew is like a Sefer Torah, has the kedusha of a Sefer Torah. Coming back to our Gemara says that there should be a chiyuv of kriya. He wasn't there. So that's the reason why there isn't a chiyuv. So if he tears, so then in such a case it would be a kilkul, not a tikkun. Tenach mesoi. So fine. That takes care of tearing for one's dead. So there, the halacha would be that if you're chayiv to tear, so then in such a case it's not a kilkul, it's a tikkun. So you'd be chayiv on Shabbos if you did that on Shabbos. But what about the stira of chamasei chamasei? El chamasei chamasei kasha. In our Mishnah, we learned that if you tear b'chamasei in anger, you're going to be patur. Yet the brisa that we start off with in our Gemara said you're chayiv. Says Gemara chamasei nam lo kasha. And here the Gemara introduces a very important machlokes that we've seen before. Harab Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. It's going to be dependent on the machlokes Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Harab Yehuda da amar lo chashen suchel gufa chayiv ala. According to Rabbi Yehuda, you're chayiv even if there wasn't. We're going to learn according to Rashi that you didn't do a productive action. So here, Enochanami was a kilkul, but you're chayiv for a kilkul. That's what the Brisa says. The Mishnah says that you're potter, you're following Rabbi Shimon. However, Rabbi Shimon, Dar Melach HaShem, Tzidu Gufa, potter Allah. Says Gemara, Emar, Desham, Slay, the Rabbi Yehuda, Misakein. Rabbi Yehuda said this in regards to Misakein. In other words, you're doing something positive, but what the action itself is not something that is a constructive act. Let me explain what I mean. Rashi explains to us on the Tzadi Gimel that when it comes to a malacha shein tzricha legufa, malacha shein tzricha legufa is not that you're creating something new, constructive, that wasn't there before, but rather you're removing an impediment to create something positive. The example is, hachofer guma veino tzarech el la'afra. If you dig a hole. Now sometimes you dig a hole because you want the hole. That would be doing something not only positive, but constructive. You needed the hole for something. What happens if you didn't want the hole, but you wanted to get the dirt out? There you're doing something positive, but the actual hole itself is not constructive. That's the case of Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So too says the Gemara over here. The Gemara says, according to Rabbi Yehuda, when are you going to be chayiv? When you're constructing the hole in order to get dirt. You get dirt, that's something positive. But if you tear something in anger, what is the positive thing that you're doing at all? That's called mekalkel. If you're not doing anything positive, that's entirely mekalkel. Then you're doing something negative. B'mekalkel mishamisle. I'm Rav Avin. Hai na misakin hu. No. There is a tikkun here that's taking place according to Rabbi Yehuda. The ka'avin nachas ruach liyoytzrei, because he is calming himself down. Says the Gemara, kai gavna mishari. You're allowed to tear something to calm down. V'atayin Rav Shim v'lozarim mishum chilfa bar igra. Sha'amar mishum Rabbi Yochanan ben Uriah hamikare. Someone tears his garments in anger, and if you break utensils in anger, that's considered like avodah zara. Why? The Bali Musar talk about how anger is going to bring you to avodah zara. According to Igaris Haramban, it would seem to me that the pshat is that it brings you to Avodah Zarah because anger is really about when the things didn't go our way. So if a person loses control because it didn't go his way, that's what where tempers flare, then in such a case, we're looking at the world as revolving around us and not HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and slowly, slowly, the individual begins to either worship himself or worship an idol, or what is popular idols at that particular time. Amar Rav Avin, how do I see this? Mikra, where do I see this extreme in the Pasuk? Where's the reference to it? He says, I'll tell you, Lo yevecha el zarv lo yisishtach velo necher. We say in the pasuk in Tehillim, lo yevecha, it shouldn't be in you. Veizu al kel zar sheish begufa shalom. Where is the kel zar that's inside of you? Haviyomer ze yetzer hara. So then we see that's the yetzer hara. So now we come back to our halachic question, and that is that how could we say that someone tears something bechamaso, that he's doing a tikkun? It's on the way to avodah zara. Ain't tikkun like that. There ain't no tikkun like that going on the way to avodah zara. Says more, latzricha dekav lemirme emsa anshe bisa. It's in order to create a positive fear within his house. I happen to be recording this on Erev Shabbos, so we need to give a little bit of background. The Gemara says that there are times if you want to show that something is serious to break a utensil. In fact, Imi Moirasi, one time we were not behaving in the morning, and she broke a utensil. I don't think she did it out of kas. I think she did it in order to emphasize that we weren't behaving. So the halacha is that one is allowed to do it if there's not an anger that's inside. That's what's going on in order to emphasize that it shouldn't be an anger inside. The Gemara tells us that you have to be careful not to do these things in times that there's tension ridden. The Gemara tells us in Gittin that even though it's important, lahatal ema bebesam, you shouldn't do it on Erev Shabbos, and you should be careful that it shouldn't be ema yisera, because that will cause people to sin. Gemara continues, called Rav Yehuda Shalf Matzivasa. Rav Yehuda would sometimes tear a beged to feign anger. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Tavr Manetvire, he would break shards that were already broken. Rav Sheshes Ramad Leila Amsa Menina Resha, he would throw onto the maidservant fish, small pieces of fish. Question is, what does that represent? Rabbi Abba Tavr Nechamta. Rabbi Abba would break the cover of a jug. Since we mentioned this halacha in regards to crying and avelus on Adam Kosher, the Gemara brings a teaching of Bar Kapar. Someone cries over a kosher person. So we've seen from our Gemara how important, now we've seen two things. Number one, crying over Adam Kosher is mochlan avanosav. Number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the crying and he puts it, those tears, in his storage house. Shenemar noidi safar ta'ata sima dascha v'notcha halo v'sifrasecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards our tears. Gemara now continues with the halachos of Avelos on the Chacham Shemes. Amar Yudah Marav. Kol mis'atzel b'espedo shel Chacham. If you're not careful about the eulogy of a Chacham, roi l'koivra b'chayev. Chash v'chalila. The Gemara is very sharp. That individual who wasn't careful, it's better that to bury him when he's alive. Shenemar v'ik b'roisa Bigvul nachalos so betim naser chasher behar frame mitzvah in lahar gosh and with Chazal darshan lahar gosh melamed sheroga shleim hahar lahargan, because when it came to the hesped of Yoshua, if they weren't going to be masped Yoshua correctly, then the mountain was going to crush them. It's interesting that when it comes to Moshe and Aaron, so there the Torah says that they mourn them for 30 days, but by Yeshua it doesn't say that. So Tesis Shan suggests that was why there was a Mesichas Hadin on top of Klal Yisrael, because they didn't mourn Yehoshua like they had mourned Moshe and Aaron. Along the lines of that topic, Amar Rabbi Barabba, Amar Biechan, Kol Misatzel Be'espeido Shel Chacham, Einoi Marech Yamin. If a person is lazy on the eulogy for a Chacham, he won't live long. Mida Kenegin Mida. And he's punished as a result of his action. Shenemar, as the Pasuk Yeshayahu says, B'sa'asa b'shalcha terivenu, that the derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to pay back mida k'neged mida, and the Chazal Darshan sa'asa as sa' b'sa. Sa' b'sa means to exchange one measurement of flour with another, that he gets his measurement, that he himself wasn't careful with the Talmud Chacham, and somehow, not being careful with the Talmud Chacham's hesped, he's punished by dying shortly and early. The Gemara now challenges Rabbi Yochanan's statement that we were misatzel and therefore punished mida keneged mida by the hesped of Yoshua. Eser b'chia barabel Rabbi Yochanan vayavdu ha'omes Hashem kol yimei Yoshua v'kol yimei atzkenim asher yichu yom macharei Yoshua. The zekeinim were zocha to live a long life. So obviously we see that the punishment is not for those who didn't mourn and eulogize the Talmud Chacham properly to die young. They lived it out. Amar Lei, Rabbi Yochanan answered Rabbi Chiya Barava, Bavloi, from Babylon, Yamim Erichu, the Zkenim, lived good days, in other words, long days, Shanim Lo Erichu, but they didn't live long years. In other words, their days were quality days, but they died short. Gemara doesn't like that answer, Rabbi Yochanan. Are we going to say Yamim V'loy Shanim, that we say in Kriya Shema, that we'll be Zoch if we do Dvar Hashem to have long days? Does that mean that the person will have long days, productive days, but die young? Says Gemara, Bracha Shani. No, that Bracha was different. The Bracha of Kriya Shema is different, but in other instances, that's going to apply. This Bisiyata D'Shmaya concludes Daf Kufhei in Maseches Shabbos.